Today's Mishnah in Ohalot is Perek Yudchet, the last Perek of Ohalot, Mishnah Bet. Okay, so we've been discussing the dinim of the Beit HaPras, and the fact so far we've come up with two dinim of Beit HaPras. There's a Sodah Shenecharash Bo Kever, and there is a Sodah Sheavad Bo Kever. So now the truth is that the Mishnah now introduces a sort of semi-Beit HaPras. Shlosha Beit Prasot. And actually, there's three dinim of a Beit HaPras. So let's take them one by one. The normal din that we've been talking about all along was HaChoresh Et HaKever. You plow over the kever, and now the Rabbanan told you that by doing this, we're going to be kones you. It really is a knas, in a sense, because if it was done by somebody else, it wouldn't have applied to your field. Ein on the moser davar sheino shelo, which of course is nonsensical if there was a real inyan of tuma. It's nothing to do with asring davar sheino shelo. But since this is not a real chashash, because remember that a plow does not penetrate very deeply into the ground, it can only penetrate at b'shloshet tvachim, according to Rebbe Shimon, tefach v'mechza. So there's not really a chashash that there was a body that was so close to the surface. But nonetheless, we were gozer that for 100 amas from the point of the beginning of the charisha, that we would make a square of 100 by 100 amas, and according to Rebbe Yossi, 5 would be this of Beit Chamesh Soim as opposed to Arba Soim, which is slightly larger, be about 111 more, that we are gozer, that anybody who walks there, we're afraid he came into contact with a bone, and therefore became Tameh. Now, the question is that in that kind of situation, you are allowed to plant a tree. So, nitat kol neta, you can plant trees. Now, remember that we did have the discussion earlier about whether you're allowed to have the grapes in a Beis HaPras or whether you cannot plant something you know is going to become tameh. So this is obviously ignoring Rebbe Yossi. But you have a problem of planting veggies there or planting grain there. So in a nizraat kol zera, because the problem is if you're going to uproot something, it carries the ground along with it, then we're going to be spreading tuma because we're worried about the gush of a Beit HaPras spreading tuma to other places. Now, the only thing that wouldn't apply to is if you're talking about chutz mizera haniktzar, where things are not going to be pulled out, they're going to be cut specifically. So those type of things, obviously, if you're talking about growing wheat, you're not going to be uprooting it. So in that case, there's no problem, because there's not an issue of transferring tuma anywhere. Okay, what happens in the event that you actually did plant something over there, and you went ahead and you uprooted it? So im akaro. So now what do? If you uprooted it, are you allowed to continue to deal with it and finish it up and turn it into flour and so on? Says the Gemara, im akaro, tsoveret gornola tocho. You can't take it out of the Beit HaPras. You're going to have to put the entire goren right there in the soda that you uprooted it from, which is certainly not the way that you would normally do your threshing. And you would then have to sift it right there in the field twice. You'd have to put it through two different types of sifters in order to make sure that you've gotten rid of any shivrei atzamot so that you don't bring tuma to outside of the Beit HaPras. So Tainas Rebbe Meir. The Chachamim say, well, if you're talking about tvuah, you did this to grain and you uprooted the grain, yes, you would need two sifters. But if you're talking about kitniot, there so much of the karka, the roots, pull up so much karka with them that you'd have to use sholosh kivarot. And there's something else that is a crazy thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to burn all of the kash and all of the otza. The otza is essentially also straw, but it's straw that is with kitnia. So let's say you were growing beans or something, right? You can't take any of it out because the straw is just full of the dirt, and there'd be no way that you could bring it out there to feed your animal because you're going to be spreading tuma around. Now, let's discuss what type of tuma would be involved in this type of a Beit HaPras. This type of a Beit HaPras would only be metame b'maga u b'masa, eino metame b'oil, because the whole point of this Beit HaPras is we know where the kever was, And our only chashash is, obviously, you can't stand over the kever, that will still be metame ba'ol. We don't believe that we're going to be makel because you destroyed the kever. You didn't really destroy the kever. So the chashash over here is whether you spread any remains. But if you did, you certainly don't have a rova atzamot in one place that's going to be metame ba'ol. So the most we need to worry about is b'maga or b'masa. And therefore, it would be, in that sense, it would be more kal. And there would be only the question of coming into direct contact with it. But the other type of Beit HaPras, says Mishnah Gimel, the other type of Beit HaPras would be the opposite. That would be a Sada She'avat Kever Betucha. I don't know where the grave is. So in that case, I'm going to be Choshesh that maybe I'm walking over the grave wherever I am in the field. Now, this type of situation would not create a problem of planting Zra'im, because there's even, we're not really worried that there's going to be any kind of broken up remains. So Mamela, even if in the end you ended up actually uprooting it, we wouldn't have to go through the hell that we went through in the previous Mishnah of taking care of making sure that there wasn't a little piece of dirt. Now, that's not to say that there is no chashash, that maybe, since you have no idea where the kever was, that maybe the kever was also was actually plowed over. But in this case, it's like more of a sfeik sfeika. We don't allow you to just ignore it. In other words, it will be b'tami yu b'maga, but it's not that it's usher to bring it outside and we're chashash that you're going to be spreading tuma. But this type of field, you do not plant trees in. So, okay, there's different approaches why you don't plant trees in. So one approach is because of the fact that since anyone coming into this field is going to be Tomei Tumas Ohel, because of the Gzeira Drabonin of this being a Tumas Pras, Beis HaPras that is Metame Be'ohel. So if you plant trees, trees generally encourage people to come in, because people enjoy being in the orchard and sitting in under the shade and so on and so forth. That's one approach the Rav learns. The Rambam learns that it's ena nitat kol neta, because the roots of the tree penetrate the grave. And therefore, since you don't know where the grave is, you can't plant a tree there without its being mezalzel in the grave. And even if there were trees there before, we don't want to be mekayim ba'ilanot. To be Mekayim Ilanot is going to, for sure, encourage people to come, unless it's an Ilan Srak, where over there it doesn't make Perot, and people, therefore, are not going to be attracted, because that would be another consideration. And this type of Beis HaPras is Metame also B'maga U'B'masa, because since we have no idea where it was, how do we know it wasn't plowed over? And it's also Metame Ba'ol, since we're always worried that this is the place of the grave. So if you came into contact with the actual gush, it would be metameyu. However, we do not make this gezerah not to bring things out that have the gush in it, because we weren't gozer outside of the field itself. That's the second type of Beit HaPras. Now, what in the world is the third type of a Beit HaPras? We never saw that before. So the truth is that what we're calling a Beit HaPras over here is not a Zeras Tuma of a Beit HaPras. There's no Tuma in this Beit HaPras. It's called a Beit HaPras only in reference to the dinim we've been talking about in this parak. Namely, are you allowed to plant or are you allowed to maintain trees in it? Trees or planting Zroim. That's the only reason why it's also called a Beit HaPras, because it does share that halacha. And that is called a stei bochim. So a stei bochim would be a place that was miyuchad for stopping and saying kaddish and saying hespedim and so on. So there was a place before you got to the actual Beit HaKvarais that they would put down the body and they would say kaddish. Not that they had that necessarily at that time, but there was an issue of saying hespedim and cry there over the mace. So a stei bochim is kept clear. Lo nita'at, lo nizra'at, because since it's used by the rabbim, and once a person allowed the rabbim to utilize that area for a stei bochim, it becomes the rishus of the Rabbi meant for that proper, for that particular purpose. And therefore, it means that you are mevater on your rights to make it difficult for people to use because you've planted it and it has to be kept clear for purposes of stei boch. And that's the only reason that we're calling it a beta pras. However, when it comes to the dinim of tumah v'taira, it's completely tahar. Afarat tahar, it's so tahar you can use the clay from this stei bochim to actually make an oven for the Beis HaMikdash and put Kodesh in there. That's how much we're not choshesh that maybe people left some of the remains there and it was metame. That is not our concern. There is no gezerah whatsoever about tumah here. So even tanur lehegdash would be mutter. Okay. Now we're getting going to go back to the first Mishnah about the original Beit HaPras. So now the question is, there are differences between a Beit HaPras where it was Avad Bakever or Beit HaPras where it was Nechrash Bakever. Because if it's Nechrash Bakever, then remember that we do have ways to find out whether you were Tommy or to make it Mutter. That was with those old leaf blowers that you were always wondering why they were made, right? So they're made for going through the Beit HaPras. So in this case, even though we're going to be getting very soon to a machlokis Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, there's something that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree on. And that is that modim Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that if somebody already passed through the Beit HaPras, it's not talking about the case that we have many times about whether you could be Beidik a Beit HaPras up front to allow a person to go to his Karban Pesach. Here we're talking about a guy didn't realize that he had gone through a Beit HaPras. Now he wants to bring his Karban Pesach. Can he? Is there any way that we can make him tar, even though just yesterday, and obviously there's no time for him to become tar with the Por Adum and so on, just yesterday went through a Beit HaPras. Can we work out whether he's tummy or not? So in this case, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Umoda, that we actually can. We can be bodek ex post facto Beit HaPras. And if we see that there were actually no pieces of atzomais there at all, so then we rely on that bedika, and we say he can go ahead and bring his Karban Pesach. We do that because of the chumra of the Karban Pesach, which is a chi of kores, if you're unable to bring it. So as we saw from many other inyanim, we try our very, very best to find a heter to allow a person to bring his Karban Pesach bizmano. So yes, you could do that, and you will talk about how we do this. You can do that, but only for the Karban Pesach, not for allowing a kohen to eat truma. So if a kohen went through a Beit HaPras and only realized it afterwards, he's definitely tamei. You can't say, well, let me go back and see if we find any bones. That, nobody holds his mutter. Because if you don't need your truma, you don't need your truma. You wait till you become tahar for sure with the par adum, and then you go eat your truma. Why should we allow you to rely on a kula of a bedika? Okay, so where do we have the machlokas? There's no machlokas about Pesach, and there's no machlokas about truma. Where is the machlokas? The machlokas is benogea a nazir. So a nazir went through a Beit HaPras, and if the nazir is tamei, he has to start his naziris over again. He has to cut his hair. He has to bring korbanos, and so on and so forth. But if he's in a position of going through a Beit HaPras, so now we don't know what the situation is. So over there, Beit Shammai says you can be bodek. So you check it through by putting all of the soil through some type of sifter, and you'll see whether there were any chips of atzamis. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, he can't rely on that, and he's tameh, even if we don't find any kind of atzameis. Now, how, when we talk about bodek, I mean, how in the world can you be bodek at Beit HaPras? Very, very difficult. You would have to get all of the earth that was soft enough that might have been moved in the place where he walked through. Mevieta afar shu yachola hasito. And you'd have to pass it through a very small hold kvara, a very small hold sifter, small enough to trap even the size of one adasha, right? One little barley. So it's got to have thin holes. Now, the soil is not going to go through thin hole. You're right. It's not. So you're going to have to actually rub it and force it through, right? Mimache. You're going to have to crumble that soil so that it all goes through. And then, obviously, the Kohen shouldn't be the one to do this, because then if he does find any kind of atzamis, then he will for sure be tummy. So, im nimtza sham etzem kisa'ira. So, even if we have the size of the, I said atashemen kisa'ira, obviously. Even if we have the size of one barley kernel, then he is tummy. But if we find it completely free of atzamot of that size, so then the Kohen would be, or then the person would be tahor, and he would be allowed to bring his korban pesach, and not the Kohen to eat the truma. Okay, how would we, says Mishnah, hey, I still have a few minutes, so if you'll allow me, we're going to close to the end, and very soon we have to be starting Shvias, which we wanted to do, right? So we'll just go ahead over here a little bit. Ketzad mitarin beta pras. If you've got beta pras A, referring to a soda shenecharaj bar kever, is there a way to actually undo the whole problem? Well, yes, you could bring a bulldozer and you could take off the top three tvachim of the entire field. And then, since the plow doesn't go any deeper than three tvachim, so there would be no problem. So if you removed all of the topsoil, so then we don't have a worry. Or you could do something else. You could bring in truckloads of new soil and cover over the top three tvachim. They have a new layer of three tvachim. And then, even if somebody will now plow the field, since a plow doesn't go deeper than three tvachim, the plow's not going to be bringing up any of the atzamas that are under it. And since the halacha is, as we just saw, that there's no tumas ohel, there's only the problem of tumas maga or masa, so there would be no problem. If you know that you've covered over the field, so then that would be okay. Or you could do some of the field by using a bulldozer, some of the field by covering over, whatever. So imnatam echetzot, say you took on the northern part of the field, you took off the three tvachim with a bulldozer, and then you used other new soil on the other half of the field, you covered over three tvachim, it's also fine. But the point is that there should be no way for there to be ever coming into contact with atzamais. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need three tvachim. The plow only gets to a tefach umechza. So if you cover over part of the field or the whole field with the tefach umechza, or you pull off the top tefach umechza, that would be sufficient. And afilu natam imenu tefach umechza, or natan alav tefach umechza, mimokom acher obviously has to be from clean soil. So then it would be tahar, because we don't need to worry about three. Now there's another thing that you can do, which is a lot easier. You could turn it into a parking lot. You can basically tile over or tar over the whole Beit HaPras, and that would be also okay. I mean, so if somebody has wrote safe Beit HaPras b'avadim sheinu yochol asita, let's say you cover over the entire surface of the Beit HaPras with stones that are set so well that they cannot move even when you step on. If they can move, then there's a problem, because then if there is a little bit of atzamos underneath, and you would be mesit the atzamot by moving the stone, so then that would be metamiyu, like a nose. But if they're tiled, so then it would be tar, because there's no possible way that you would ever come into contact with that dirt. So a Beit HaPras that turned into a parking lot would not be a problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Av ha'ozek beta pras tahor. Look, I mean, if somebody does azaka, remember that azaka means that you go through the field to get out all the stones in the field. That you normally do anyway as part of agriculture, you do that. So if somebody was ozek the beta pras, that means that he dug through the whole beta pras, getting out whatever stones were there. So since he dug through it, we can assume that he would have seen any kind of bones that were there. And therefore, according to him, we can even be makel if we just simply did the azkat.